Basically, I mean, as far as the receivership did, to seize any business that the Federal Reserve, I think by a two-thirds vote or something like that, determines to be a systemic threat. And so very broad powers, and, you know, even you know, as far as, you know, what is a financial institution, they, you know, under some statutes like money laundering, jewelry stores and auto dealers are considered financial institutions. So when you give the federal government the power to seize any business, you're raising a lot of concerns like eminent domain, property rights, things like that. And it would be incredibly broad, different from the system that, you know, doesn't work perfectly today, where the FDIC can seize banks, where that, because that's sort of a condition of deposit insurance. So it needs to do something about, you know, bankruptcy or receivership, or to set a process for companies like AIG to wind down. But the power to seize, I think, should give a lot of people pause.
Some of the big financial people in this country, some of the CEOs of companies, especially some that may or may not be construed, as you mentioned, as financial institutions, were expressing some concern this morning that there doesn't seem to be a definitive definition of what a company that is suffering from some kind of structural problem is. There's not an objective definition of when the government can come in and take an institution over.
I mean, what is systemic risk? I mean, you had that when earlier when Fannie Mae, you know, had raised capital, and they still seized it anyway, and that, you know, had been, you know, had its origins in, you know, was set up by Congress, but for any firm as far as that. And that, you know, that does raise a lot of questions, and that could spread its own sort of systemic risk, because would you invest in a company that, you know, the government is going to take over and then possibly wipe out shareholders the next day? So nationalization, or the threat of it, or government takeover, spreads its own risk, something that Tim Geithner seemed to recognize when he fended off arguments against nationalization, but may now be going down that road again.
What should we be watching as this, as more and more details sort of come out on this plan, and they sort of flesh out, you know, they sort of have given us a early skeleton view, but they're sort of filling out details. What particularly should we be watching for?
I think you should. Well, the G20. What you should be watching for is the G20 coming out next April. The other countries, they say that they're. And they say rightly that, you know, regulation isn't effective unless, you know, you can get other countries to coordinate it. But you have the EU can't coordinate its own regulation. So you have a lot of countries with a lot of different interests. And there is a lot of pushback, interestingly, on the stimulus from typically countries, you know, we associate as, you know, being more, you know, like, you know, welfare state countries like France and Germany, who say, you know, more spending is not the answer. That's a different thing. But those kind of fissures, you know, on public spending, I mean, I think foreshadow what they might be on regulation. You know, London has a different accounting system than we do, things like that. So that's what to watch for, what other countries' reactions are for it.
We talk a lot about interoperability of different systems in the federal government, and that's the word that came to my mind as you're talking about how this will work with other countries, because one of the things that Secretary Geithner has been talking about, and mentioned it again today, was calling for some kind of reform with countries all over the world. So that interaction and how you propose to get countries to come along at all in the first place, and then to do it the way that you want them to do it, will be I think pretty hard to do.
And cooperation is necessary, but also, I mean, just like among states, I mean, I think a healthy degree, we should have a healthy degree of regulatory competition, too, just so there's not a one-size-fits-all model. I mean, I think we've learned from London about maybe, say, after Enron, the Sarbanes-Oxley laws on public companies and auditing were too stringent, actually forced some companies to be private where there was even less transparency. So, I mean, you need sort of systems to operate, I think, somewhat differently, just, you know, so, you know, I think other countries can learn or about what works best.
And a lot of discussion about how to deal with these sort of too big to fail institutions. And a lot, there's been a lot of concern about how you deal with those. Any sense as to, I mean, it, my sense from talking to folks is that they just don't really get that concept.
Well, I think they're selling sort of receivership or conservatorship or government takeover as you know, the ultimate answer But yet, I mean, I think Stephen Pearlstein, the Washington Post business columnist, had a good point that, you know, these liabilities likely are at AIG and Fannie and Freddie Mac, which are sort of government conservatives, just where the government owns the whole thing, are still on the books, and they're having to still pay the money. In fact, AIG, they're paying more than anyone else, about $180 billion, so that it's going to magically disappear. I think what they should work on, perhaps, is the bankruptcy code so that, you know, a company like Lehman Brothers could go bankrupt, but, you know, without the systemic, as much of the systemic risk, or you know, empowering bankruptcy courts, you know, to take into account whether something has a systemic risk. Then somebody can petition for bankruptcy like they do now, but you have, you know, this whole structure in place, like, you know, do you exchange, you know, debt for equity? What happens to the shareholder? Sort of more of a prepackaged bankruptcy rather than a government, you know, sort of seizing authority and a conservatorship like Secretary Geithner's proposing.